Lipsyncsymphony.com. Okay, so lip sync series. And just to kind of recap, we talked about three things that really help us take our lip sync performance to a whole nother level. First of all, the words. You got to know the words. You got to get the words right. If you don't know the song you're singing, it's not going to be believable. Second is the actions, right? Like lip syncing is more than just mouthing the words. There's a performance element involved, which Josh nailed pretty good this morning. a hidden talent right there. So there's our actions. They matter. They really matter. And then, of course, there's the third part that we talked about that we're going to talk about this morning is your heart. Your heart. Words, actions, heart. When you get all three in sync with one another, it makes for a pretty good lip sync performance. But of the three, I think the most important is the third, the one we're talking about today, the heart. Because if you believe what it is you're doing, people will believe you. It'll be evident. It'll come out in all the other areas. On the lip sync battle, on the show Lip Sync Battle, the producers, as we mentioned at the beginning, they always let the performers pick their own song. They don't tell them what songs to do because they know that the best performances come from somebody who really believes what they're singing and what they're, lip syncing and what they're acting out. That's where the best performances come from because they believe it. They buy it. It's something they're passionate about. If they were just handed a song and told, here, we want you to do this, it's going to be a lot harder for them to pull off because it's not where their heart is at. And I was thinking about how that's true so much in so many different areas of our life, isn't it? When you're asked to do something at work that you don't really want to do, that you're not passionate about, that doesn't really connect with your heart, you might get it done. Hopefully you will. But it probably won't be with a lot of enthusiasm or passion. If I asked Bob to lead songs every week that he didn't like, he could do it. He could pull them off, but he's not going to be real excited about it. Right? And the same is true when it comes to our faith life. If our heart isn't in the right place, it's going to be really hard for us to get the words right. If our heart isn't in the right place, it's going to be hard for us to get the actions right, to act like a Christian, like we're supposed to, like God calls us to. We might be able to fake it, we might be able to pull it off, but that's not what he wants for us. He wants it to be real and genuine. Our words are important, our actions are important, but it really all starts with the heart, and that's the focus for this morning. Everything starts with the heart. Unfortunately, our hearts are messy and complex, aren't they? There's always a lot going on inside of us. Even sometimes we feel like we're in this wrestling match with God. Right? Maybe he convicts us of something we don't want to change in our life. Or he asks us to give up something that that we like. We don't want to give it up. He calls us to give something away that we don't want to let go of. He might call us to sacrifice in a way we aren't exactly thrilled with. He reveals areas of sin that we don't want to surrender to him. Now, God's completely aware of the battle going on in our heart, and it's not something we can hide from him, but that doesn't mean it's any less of a struggle for us. We often are wrestling with God in our hearts. Well, if you can relate to that battle, which I'm sure we all can to a certain point, I hope you're going to find this passage and what we're talking about this morning really helpful. And the passage we're looking at is from Proverbs chapter 4. If you'd like to flip there in your Bibles, that's great. The words will be up here on the screen. It's just a small section of scripture. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 23. It's written by Solomon, first of all. Solomon was David's son. He was the third king of Israel, but he was incredibly blessed with wisdom. At the same time, he was also blessed with a lot of stuff, a lot of wealth. And unfortunately, his heart was divided between those two. So he often had a difficult time choosing the right thing. And because of that, the kingdom itself was torn in two. It was divided, just like his heart. So he knows a thing or two about the heart and the struggles there. But here are some of the words of wisdom that he passes along to his son in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs 4, starting in verse 23. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now, in this short passage, Solomon does talk about our words, right? He mentions, you know, putting away crooked speech, devious talk. We got to get the words right. He mentions our actions. Talks about keeping your gaze straight, watching where you're walking and turning away from evil. So your actions matter as well. But he gets at the main point here is that your heart is the place from which everything flows, right? Everything starts with the heart. Now, when scriptures refer to the heart, figuratively, when it's not talking about the literal heart, it involves your emotions. That's usually the picture we get when we talk about the heart. But scripture involves more than that. It is your emotions or your feelings, but it's also your thoughts, like your intellect, and your will. All three of those combined is what the heart is referring to. It represents the most central part of you. So that's why he calls this place a spring of life. So Proverbs, again, 4:23, we're going to focus in on that verse this morning. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So Solomon clearly knew everything starts with the heart, and yet he tells us we have to keep that heart, keep our heart. What does he mean by keep? The word here that's used is the Hebrew word natsar. And the definition is here, natsar means to watch over, to protect, to guard, or to keep. To watch over, to protect, to guard, or to keep. And as we look at those, I think each one of those things is helpful in thinking about what we need to do with our hearts spiritually. And we're going to kind of consider those for a couple minutes. First of all, the first thing that we see is that we're supposed to watch over it. Watch over it. And that's the idea of like someone watching over a vineyard in those days, or being stationed in a tower and overlooking the city, watching over something. Now, the reason that we want to do this is because our heart is valuable. Our heart is valuable, right? We don't watch over worthless things. When I put my garbage out on Thursday night so it can be picked up on Friday morning, I'm not like keeping a close eye to make sure it stays there and nobody comes and takes it. Because I don't care. It's worthless, right? Whatever. I'm not watching over worthless things. Now, when they were younger, especially if we let the kids go out and play in the backyard, we're going to watch over them. We're going to keep an eye on them because they're far more valuable. So we watch over what is valuable. Your heart is valuable. You need to watch over it. The second thing that it refers to is protecting it, protecting your heart. And if you think about this, physically, God created us in a way that our hearts are heavily protected, aren't they? You know, I mean, there's your sternum, rib cage, and the back is your spine. It's tough to get at it. In fact, that's why if you have an open heart surgery, it's so tedious, so long and painful to recover from, because they have to work their way through all of this protection in order to get there to work on the heart. So your heart is protected because it's so important. And that's really the key idea. We have to protect our heart because your heart is vital. Your heart is vital. There's a lot of body parts you can survive without. Your heart, or something that functions like a heart, is not one of them, right? You need that. Well, we need to protect our heart spiritually. Right? Every time we subject it to a wrong or unhealthy relationship, every time we engage in poor choices or sin, every time we expose our hearts to things that desensitize us from either sin or from hearing God, every time we say no to God and yes to something else, it puts our heart at risk, right? So we have to protect our hearts. The third picture that this definition gives is to guard, right? We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard it. That's about standing guard, being ready to defend something, ready to defend our hearts from danger. And the reason we do this is because our hearts are always under attack. I think that one's up there. You guard it because your heart is constantly under attack. We live in a world that doesn't embrace God's ideals or values in a whole lot of ways. Those things pose a threat to our heart. We also have an enemy who wants us to fall and wants us to fail. A surprise attack could come at any time, so we've got to stand guard, ready to defend our hearts from the things that he throws at us. All right, so that's the third one, is the idea of guarding our hearts. And the fourth one is the idea of keeping our hearts, to keep it. Now, the idea here is of keeping it, and this is the word that is in the actual translation we looked at, but the idea is about keeping it faithful. It's about fidelity. Just like the idea of keeping a wedding vow, we're supposed to guard the fidelity of our heart towards God, towards Jesus. Right? God is an inclusive God. He wants everyone to come to know him. He wants everyone to know his great love for them. He wants everyone to respond to his mercy and grace. But the relationship that we're supposed to have with him is not inclusive. It's not all inclusive. It's exclusive. He wants just us and him. No other gods, no idols, no other things get in the way. That's the idea here of being faithful and the idea of fidelity. We have to keep our heart faithful because, let's face it, our hearts are quick to wander. You got to keep your heart because your heart is quick to wander. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 10, he says, "With my whole heart I seek you, but let me not wander from your commandments." For we so easily turn to things other than God. Our heart is prone to wander, so keep it faithful to the Lord. So your heart is valuable. You've got to watch over it. Your heart is vital. You've got to protect it. Your heart is constantly under attack, so we need to guard it, and your heart is quick to wander, so you need to keep it faithful, keep its fidelity to the Lord. And Solomon says we're supposed to do these things with all vigilance, with all vigilance. Keep your heart with all vigilance, meaning you have to deliberately pay more attention to this than to anything else. That's the idea he's conveying here with all vigilance. Most of you know that a number of years ago I had heart surgery. It was stents put in one artery. And the one thing my cardiologist told me afterwards was, you gotta take your meds. You gotta take your medication. I mean, he kind of drilled that in. Take your meds, take your meds, take your meds. Because apparently lots of people, once they start feeling better, decide, well, I probably don't need these anymore. Or maybe it's a cost thing and, you know, don't want to spend a lot on the medications, but so they stop taking their meds. But between the stents and the blood pressure and the cholesterol and the heart rate and all those sorts of things, there's a medication regimen that you got to stay on. Otherwise, you might die. that sounds a little heavy or extreme, but that's what it can lead to. So the first question my cardiologist would ask me every time I'd come into the office, are you taking your meds? And I'd say, yes, I am. I'm taking my meds. And then he'd say, well, are you getting diet, getting exercise and, you know, watching what you're eating? I'm like, yes, I'm taking my meds. That other one's a whole another sermon illustration sometime, right? But he wanted to make sure I was taking those meds with all vigilance because ultimately I wasn't going to be able to live without them, right? Or as Solomon writes, you know, from your heart flows the springs of life. Right? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. He saw my heart as a source or a spring of life that needed these things. See, everything starts with the heart. We have to watch over it. We have to protect it. We've got to guard it. We've got to keep it. When we don't do that, we're going to find ourselves in a bad place spiritually. Now, I don't as we kind of move towards a really important question that we want to ask here, I don't want to sound too morbid, because I'm doing fine. My heart's all good in that, okay? But as I get older, sometimes I get aches or pains in places that I can't really explain. Anyone relate to that? Like, okay, I'm not the only one. Good, good. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know why that's sore. I don't know how that's sore. And the first thing that comes to mind is like, man, I'm getting so old. That's my first thought. But my second thing that I have to, that I wonder is there something wrong with my heart? Because a lot of times, the symptoms of a heart problem don't show up with chest pain. They start showing up someplace else. So there's a little bit of worry there, especially when you're not used to it. And in the early days, it was like every little ache, I'm like, oh, am I okay? Is there something wrong with my heart? I think the same thing is true spiritually, though. A lot of times we have symptoms in our life of a heart problem, a spiritual heart problem. But we don't think of it as a heart problem because we're more worried about what's going on externally. If we stop and look at our life and find that our words are not coming out the way that they should, we're not speaking the kinds of truth that God wants us to be, or our actions are not representing the kind of life that God wants for us. When we see problems in our relationships, whether it's our marriage or our friends or with our kids, maybe at work, or just something that's stirring in our own spirit, it's possible that the problem lies there in those circumstances, in that external thing. But we need to ask ourselves, is that the real issue? Is the problem in that relationship? Is the problem in my words? Is the problem in my actions? Or is there something wrong with my heart? If you take a look at your life, and it's not looking like what God has in mind for you, it's possible that the issue is not with the externals. You have to check the root of the issue, right? Because everything starts with the heart. So this morning, I want us to do a little heart check as we close. And I want to ask you a few questions. They ultimately come from that one question that I just mentioned. Is there something wrong with my heart? You can just leave that up for a minute. That's kind of the question we're ultimately getting to. But let me ask a few questions that might make you think about if there's a heart problem going on in your spiritual life. Like when was the last time that you spent some time really connecting with God? Or when was the last time that you did that outside of church? Okay. When was the last time you were moved by something that you read for yourself in the scriptures? When was the last time you were excited because God spoke to you? He spoke something to you. You know, maybe when was the last time that you genuinely thanked and praised him for something in your life? Or when you confessed something that you did wrong because God brought this conviction to your heart? When was the last time you apologized to someone for something you did? Or maybe when God stopped you in your tracks from doing something you knew that was against his heart? When was the last time you really talked to God? What was the last thing you really talked to him about in prayer? See, I'm asking these questions because I think when we neglect to watch over, to guard, to protect, and to keep our hearts, we're going to experience these long dry spells, these droughts spiritually. And I'm asking them because I feel these things too, okay? I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm sharing with you because, I mean, I know what it's like to be in that place where it's hard to pray. And it's been hard to pray for a long time because it just takes a lot of work, right? It's painful sometimes to stop and pray because it feels hard to string even just a couple sentences together before your mind is on something else. It's hard to quiet your spirit. It's hard to drown out the noise to be able to hear God. So I'm not unfamiliar with that, and I'm not blasting us for it, but when we have those things going on in our life, we have to ask, is there something wrong with my heart? So a few more questions. When was the last time you truly sensed his presence in your life? The last time you felt the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something for someone. The last time you felt the Holy Spirit prompting you to say something to someone. The last time you were stirred to action. The last time you heard the voice of God. Or maybe when was the last time you were just overcome with joy because of what Jesus did for you? A genuine, authentic joy that welled up inside. Or you were moved deeply in worship of God, the Creator. When was the last time you were broken at the pain of someone who was in crisis? Or when you hurt for someone who was in need? Or when you were angered by someone who was experiencing injustice? When you are moved to compassion for someone who needed and still needs Jesus. So you think these are the things, the kinds of things that we experience in our life when our heart is in a spiritually healthy place. If we're not experiencing these things, or if it's been an awfully long time since we have, then it probably means there's a problem with our heart. And we need to get our hearts back to where they need to be. It's why it's so important to guard it, to watch over it, to protect it, and to keep it. Because everything starts with the heart. The focus of our heart needs to be on Him, on the Lord. Because He's what matters most. I want to take a moment and pray in this moment. And just give you a second to do this on your own, but if you know that your heart is in a place that is dry, that is feeling far from God, or you know there's a problem, you just take a moment and just say, God, this is where I'm at, and I want to reconnect with you. I want my focus, the focus of my heart, to be put back on you. Help me to do that. And I'm going to give you a moment of quiet just to do that, and then we'll close in prayer and worship. Lord God, we know that you are a God who loves us deeply, and you long for us to draw near to you. And it's so easy for us to drift off, to wander off. But time and time again, you call us back. And as maybe we're in that place this morning of having drifted away, in a dry spell, things aren't going the way that we know they should be. They aren't reflecting the life you want for us. We just keep coming up short. We recognize that there may be an issue, a problem with our heart. But this morning we want to once again commit it to you, to turn it back to you, to offer it back to you. Because of your incredible love for us, what you've done for us on the cross in Jesus, the incredible gift you've given, we ask for you to help us to draw near to you. And as we do, would you meet us in that place? Let us sense your presence once again. Help us to keep our focus on you, the one that really matters. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.